Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching a continuing series from the book of 1 John in the New Testament. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to begin with verse 15 of 1 John 4. And what I want to talk to you about is no fear in love. No fear in love. I take that title from verse 18, where it says there's no fear in love. And what we're talking about there is a special love, not just love in general, not the romantic love, or even love of brotherhood in the sense of our fellow man. But what it's talking about is the special love that exists between God's family, the spiritual family of the elect, the justified, the redeemed, the regenerated and called, born-again people, believers, the family of God. And it's His spiritual family. And that's a special love. I've been talking about that in the last few programs, and you might want to get them and listen to them, concerning the nature of God's true love. You see, and we need to make this distinction if we're going to understand this. The law of God commands can be summarized in two commandments, Christ said, and that is, love God perfectly and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's the summation of the law that requires perfect obedience, not only in deed, but in attitude, in thought, in every way. And of course, we all fall short of that standard. For example, by nature, none of us love God at all, let alone love God perfectly. And so, and the reason we don't by nature is because we fell in Adam, we're born dead in trespasses and sins. We don't even know the true and living God until He reveals Himself to us in Christ. And we'll see how that's so. He starts out here in verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." He dwells in God. Listen, you don't have a saving relationship, a familial relationship with Almighty God, apart from understanding and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory of His person and in the power of His finished work. Let me show you a passage over here in John chapter 6, verse 44. And listen to this. It says, this is Christ speaking to Nicodemus, or not to Nicodemus, but He's speaking to His disciples. He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And verse 45 says, this is quoted from Isaiah. He says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Now, think about what that's saying. God's going to teach His people. He's going to reveal Himself to His people. They who by nature do not know the true and living God, they have ideas about Him. The natural man, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. So what man knows of God naturally concerning salvation and a right relationship with God is wrong. Now, a lost person, an unregenerate, not born again person, He can know God as creator. He can even know something of God's providence, that God's in control. But he doesn't know the God of salvation. He doesn't know the Heavenly Father. He has to learn that, and he has to learn it by God teaching him by the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. And that's why he says here, everyone that hath heard. Heard what? Heard the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's God's promise to save sinners conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled those conditions and by his fulfillment secured the salvation of every sinner for whom he suffered and bled and died and rose and was buried and arose again. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ means. And so he says, every man that hath heard. Now, to hear, you've got to be born again. Christ told his disciples that in Matthew 13 when he was preaching in parables. And they asked him, he said, why are you preaching in parables? And he said, because they, talking about the unbelievers, they hearing, seeing they don't see, and hearing they don't hear. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. You hear things they don't hear. You're hearing the same words. You're hearing the same gospel preached, but they don't hear it savingly. They don't hear it lovingly. Believe with in faith. Faith is the gift of God. You don't have it naturally. So everyone that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's learning this. And this is in the whole context of the Bible. God is a just judge, and he must punish all sinners to whom sin is imputed. If you appear before God having sins charged to your account, you will be condemned. You will perish. And so he's just. But yet the Bible speaks of God as a merciful, loving, gracious Father. Now here's the question. How can God be both a just and righteous judge and punish sinners and still be a loving, merciful, and gracious Father? How can he be both? The question was asked by Job, how can God be just and justify sinners? The answer is found in the gospel. It's only in and by the Lord Jesus Christ that God can be both a just God and a Savior. A just God and a righteous judge and a loving Father. And if you ever learn how that can be, you know what you'll do? You'll run to Christ. You'll believe in Christ. You'll plead Him. And back over here in 1 John 4, that's what it means. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that's more than just saying words. You can repeat the words, Jesus is the Son of God, till you're blue in the face and not know what it means. He's talking about the gospel. That Jesus Christ, who came into the world, is God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, and perfect man, and that He's the Savior of His people, the Savior of the world. That's God's elect out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And if you believe in Him, God dwells in you, and you dwell in God. What that means is you have a familial, loving, merciful, right relationship with God as your Heavenly Father. And verse 16 now, 1 John 4, he says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. My friend, think about this. This is something that people don't understand today. I know I mentioned this last week. If you speak honestly, biblically, about God's love, you're also going to have to speak about God's hatred. Anyone upon whom God's wrath abides is experiencing God's hatred. And the only way to have that wrath removed is through the Lord Jesus Christ as the propitiation of our sins, the sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to justice. So here's the point. Outside of Christ, there's no love of God. There's only hatred, only wrath. And I made mention of this. God's hate. Now, don't think about God's hatred as being unjust and unfair, because it is not. It's not like our hatred. Our hatred is sinful. We're sinners. But God is perfect. And He hates with a righteous hatred. Exactly. When He punishes sinners to whom sin is imputed. Well, the only way that I can know that my sins are not charged to me, imputed to me, is if I'm in Christ. Paul mentioned that in Philippians 3 when he expressed his fervent desire to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is received by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, if we know and believe in Him, in the glory of His person, in the power of His finished work, as He's identified and described and distinguished in the Bible, then we know the love that God has to us. And so he says in verse 16, God is love. God is the essence of love. That love towards sinners is unconditional. The conditions have been fulfilled by Christ, because all the conditions were upon Christ. And he that dwelleth in love, John writes, dwelleth in God and God in him. See, the only way that I can be assured of God's love for me, of God's grace, is as I dwell in Christ, as I look to Christ, as I plead the merits of Christ's blood and righteousness for all my sins. Then I know that I'm united with God. He dwells in me and I dwell in Him. Now verse 17, he says, herein, in this way, it says in the King James, our love is made perfect. The translation should be better, it would be better translated this way. Herein is love with us made perfect. And really what it's talking about is God's love for His people, not our love to Him. Now, the Bible talks about the believer's love for God. But the believer's love of God is the product, the result of God's love for the believer. You understand? And what he's talking about here is the love of God towards His people reaching its goal. Reaching and finishing what it started. And herein is God's love for us made perfect, made complete. And he says how? Verse 17. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment? You know, as I grew up in false religion, false Christianity, the way I understood judgment, for the most part, was something to be feared. Something that I didn't want to happen. Something where I would be embarrassed. Because when I got to judgment, God would flash up all my sins and all of that stuff. And I would be embarrassed. And it's just a terrible thought. But in the Bible, for God's children who look to Christ and rest in Christ and plead His righteousness, it's not a fearful thing. It's not a terrible thing. We can be bold in the day of judgment. Why? How? Upon what ground? Look at verse 17. Because as He is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? Does that mean that in myself I'm as perfect as Christ? No. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. But legally and positionally, I'm as perfect as Christ because I have His righteousness charged to me. That's what he's talking about. When I stand before God at judgment, I'm not going to plead my works, Now, I'm not even going to plead what the Spirit has enabled me to do. I'm not going to plead the fact that I preached, that I pastored, that I tried to live a good life. No, I'm going to plead Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. That's what I'm going to plead. The Bible says that the standard of judgment is righteousness. And righteousness is measured by Christ. Acts 17:31, where it talks about God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You see, I've got to be as righteous as Christ. And in myself, I'm far from that. I always fall short. That's why I need a Savior. But as I stand legally and positionally in Christ, having His righteousness imputed to me, as He is, so am I in this world. I can be bold at the judgment because I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's justice. It's not any work I've done. It's not any decision I made. It's the work of Christ on the cross as He died and was buried and raised again the third day. And so, verse 18, this is where I got the title of this message. There is no fear in love. When I realize the love of God to me in Christ, His mercy, His grace, what He has done for me, He says in verse 18, but perfect love, love that has completed its goal, casteth out fear. Now, the Bible commands us to fear God. And in Romans 3:18, it says, by nature, there's no fear of the Lord before the eyes of unbelievers, the natural man. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And when God saves us, when He regenerates us and converts us, when we're born again, He puts a fear in us. But it's not the kind of fear that causes us, like Adam and Eve, to run and hide from God. It's not the kind of legal fear that brings us to always be afraid of being cast into hell. It's not the kind of legal fear that motivates us to be mercenaries, to earn our rewards in heaven. It's not legal fear. The fear that God gives us is a gift from God, is the fear that comes with faith, which is a reverence and a respect for the glory of God. And that's a good fear. But this perfect love that casts out fear is the love of God that gives me the assurance of salvation and final glory based on the perfection, the righteousness that can only be found in Christ. You see, as long as I'm in Christ, Paul said in Philippians 3, I've quoted it all the time, that I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ. And so in verse 18, he says, there's no fear in love. There's no legal, ungodly fear that brings sinners to try to seek a righteousness of their own. That kind of fear is gone. And perfect love casteth out that fear. The perfect love of God that is shown towards His people in Christ. Because fear hath torment. Legal fear is a torment. It brings people under the bondage of the law. It always doubting their salvation because they feel like they haven't done enough, and they haven't. If my assurance of salvation were based upon my looking at myself and saying, have I done enough? Then my friend, I'm going to tell you something. The only way I can have assurance based on that is to be self-righteous. Have I done enough? Well, enough for what? I've never done enough to be saved by my works. I've never done enough to wash away my sins. I've never done enough to make myself righteous before God, and never will do enough. You see, that's the work of Christ. He washed away all my sins by His blood. He paid the price in full. He satisfied justice. And He brought forth all the righteousness that God requires and that I need. and God has imputed that to me and given me life from it, whereby I've received it. So he says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love, in verse 18. He that feareth is not made. If you have this legal mercenary fear that inspires you to get busy working your way to heaven, then my friend, you're not made perfect in love. You're not made perfect in Christ, who is the embodiment of the love of God. In other words, you're rejecting Christ. Now, Paul dealt with that in the book of Galatians. In Galatians 2:21, he says, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. He told, you know, these preachers, these Jewish legalists were preaching that even though you're saved by grace, you've got to be circumcised in order to be really righteous and really saved. And Paul said, well, if you do that, you've fallen from grace. Christ will profit you nothing. You see, it's all Christ or nothing. So in verse 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. If you have any love for the true and living God, not the God of your imagination now, not God as you think him to be, but God as he is in his word, if you have any love for him, you need to understand that that's a gift from God through Christ, out of his love through Christ. He first loved you. And if you don't believe the true and living God, you don't love him. Now, my prayer is that God will bring you by the Holy Spirit under the preaching of the gospel, messages like this, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and experience that love that he's talking about. That love that has no fear. No fear in this love. No legal fear. Oh, there's a godly fear. There's a fear of God that is good. There's a fear of God that brings assurance of salvation. But it comes through Christ, the glory of his person, the power of his finished work, his blood and righteousness alone. So we love him because he first loved us. And verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now, that love, remember I told you about, that's that special love that binds brothers and sisters in Christ together in the family of God. But if you claim to believe and know and love God, but you don't love your brothers and sisters, it's a sham confession. Now, is our love for our brethren perfect? No. Does that mean we never get in arguments or disagreements or things like that? No, we do. But we will stand together by the grace and love of God to us. We'll stand together in the gospel. And that's the mainstay of that love. And he says in verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is the love that exists in the family of God between those who have boldness at the judgment. Because as he is, they are in this world. They're sinners saved by grace, brothers and sisters in Christ, who've been chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ, who have been justified. That means all their sins are forgiven on a just ground. And what is the just ground? The blood of Christ. You don't have one of these pleading the blood of Christ and another over here pleading their decisions or their works. If you plead your decision and your works, you're not a brother or sister in the family of God. We plead Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. And then they are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Scripture says. Bought and paid for. They're adopted into the family of God through Christ, their elder brother. They are regenerated, converted, born again, called into the family of God by the preaching of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, the Greek also. In this family, there's no Jew or Greek. He says, it's to all, Jew, Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's the imputed righteousness of Christ, the merits of His obedience unto death, as testified by His resurrection. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith, knowledge revealed, to faith, knowledge received, believed, the gift of faith. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. They live in the grace of God, looking to the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's where the love of God is experienced. That's where the love of God is known. When people quote John 3:16 and apply it to everybody without exception, they don't know what they're talking about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not saying that God loved everybody without exception. That's talking about the love of God that extends to His family in Christ. And that's what He's talking about. He's talking about that love that casteth out fear. No fear in this love. No legalism. No work salvation. No salvation conditioned on the sinner. It's all conditioned on Christ, who is the embodiment of the love of God. And He expressed that in His death on the cross to die for the sins of the people, of His people, given Him before the foundation of the world. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh me I will in no wise cast out. Think about this. It is all in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where this love is. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.